Thank you, Dusan. So I will present the same things that you have already heard, but from the user perspective. Actually, end user in this story is the service provider. So when the project started, we thought, well, we know practically all about repositories. We have a repository development team. We know everything about interoperability. We have our repositories onboarded to OpenAIR. Actually, they are harvested by OpenAIR. They are registered with quite many repository registers, and that's about all. So onboarding will be easy. And then the project started, and then the first problem that we encountered was the landscaping. Do we know how many repositories we have in the region? Well, not quite. So we checked the registries. We checked OpenAIR. We had a landscaping study, a very extensive survey, when we asked our partners to invite various stakeholders from their countries to provide information. And then we realized that even after this extensive action, we didn't know the situation in the region, and there were quite many issues because some countries, people from some countries, didn't register their repositories in registries. Some, in order to be harvested by OpenAIR, you have to comply with certain technical requirements. So not all repositories can be easily harvested by OpenAIR. So the fact that they are not present in OpenAIR doesn't mean that they don't exist. So this is a situation we know a little bit more now, but this is the situation now, a month ago, approximately. So you can see that we have some repositories registered with OpenDoR, which is the most general repository registry. We have some repositories registered with Rev3 data. Rev3 data is for data repositories. They wouldn't register publication repositories. We have some repositories harvested by OpenAIR, and we have repositories onboarded to the regional NIFOS service catalog. Some countries don't really have repositories at the moment, and we believe that there will be many repositories, many more, by the end of the project. So this is actually a tricky issue. Another tricky issue that we encountered was what does actually onboarding of repositories imply. At the beginning of the project, this wasn't clear. So we had consultations with the onboarding team, and we were not sure what we were supposed to do, because our data were delivered, the data from repositories were delivered to OpenAIR. It was suggested that repositories would be onboarded through the OpenAIR. But then again, we were required to do the onboarding in the regional catalog. And we didn't understand this, but I will explain it at the end. This is something that is now clear. So this was another tricky issue. And then we started working. And then we actually made a kind of a plan of a selection. During the project preparation stage, some repositories were identified, but we also identified some other repositories during the landscape action. There were about, I believe, 70, as far as I can remember. So the final selection was made by combining these two lists. Then we made a list of metadata describing not the data in the repository, but the metadata relevant for repositories as services. That's where the things became more clear for us. And we were discussing how to describe these repositories, what was relevant, which metadata to include in this actually description. Then we had contacts with repository providers, because some repositories that were originally planned for onboarding were not really ready. So we had to drop a few of the repositories from the final list. And then there was a great effort related to drafting repository policies. This is a kind of a chronological order, but these are not things happening within 6 months, but over 2 years. We discussed during the previous session in the other room about the tools that were developed during the project to support this process of drafting repository policies and to provide a semi-automated approach to this. And then finally, when we had already started the process of onboarding, we were provided some guidelines by Work Package 6 how to create training materials So we were provided with templates, and we created training materials for a selected number of repositories that were to be onboarded. So this is how it looks like. This is the tool used for, you can find all the information. It's really very well covered with instructions, with guidelines, with a public wiki, and you even have training materials. So this is the tool that helps repository providers define repository policies that are completely in line with the requirements of the regional catalog and in line with the DIOSC portal. This is the training material for one of the repositories. It is very nice. It's uploaded to the NIFOS Europe training platform, and this is actually a SCORM package. It was a very interesting action because we were provided a template. Then we actually worked on this template to provide our own materials. And this was a kind of a PowerPoint presentation. This was delivered to the Work Package 6 team, and they actually transformed this into SCORM packages that are usually used as a standard in open educational resources. So these materials are available in the training catalog, but they are linked, you will see later, they are linked from the catalog so that anybody can access them when seeing the record. So then we used the Agora service to actually do the main part of the onboarding, to provide the metadata and the descriptions of these repositories. What is important about this platform is that it is compliant with the EOSC portal. The fields are mapped and matched. So practically this was a kind of a preparatory step towards full EOSC onboarding. And it was interesting because we had also to onboard, similarly to the EOSC portal, we had to onboard not only the repositories but the institutions as well, and then to onboard the repositories. And then they come, there is a workflow, they have a kind of a register status, then they have the candidate status, and after that they are fully onboarded after the records are checked. I did this for Serbian repositories, and I did this using the manual procedure, but I guess that EOSC portal will have an API, so I believe that this can also be supported in NIFOS. And this is how a record relating to a repository looks in the catalog of services. And you have already seen this, but I would like to draw your attention to several points. This is the information that, yes, user wants to know, wants to find. The information about the responsible individuals and institutions, keywords. We also provided, as Serbian repositories are registered in many registries, we provided links to all of these registries. We find this quite an interesting and important information. And I circled three sections that are particularly important for us. This is the link to training. So when you click this link for training, you will get, for some repositories, but we plan to do this for all repositories, you will get the SCORM package on the training platform explaining how to use a repository. The help desk that Themis and Anastas have already explained. This is very important because for example, some repositories use email contacts. So you send an email to someone, and this is not always efficient. This is a true, genuine help desk that actually, if your repository doesn't have a help desk, this is an added value to it. This is something that is added through the catalog, and the idea is to support those who don't have the resources to create their own help desk, to have it there in the catalog. And also the monitoring system, which has already been explained, but which is actually very interesting for us. So I've made a list of the added value items that we get by onboarding. So we get a tool, the policy guidelines, the policy wizard. REPL tool. It was created during the project. As Eleni said during the previous session, this is something that didn't exist before. We also got a template how to create training materials, what to highlight. This is important. This helped us be more efficient. And also these core services are actually an added value. This is something that repositories don't have. This is something that they get once they are onboarded. So the help desk looks like this. I won't explain this in detail. You have already seen. The monitoring service is very important for us. We all have some internal monitoring systems for our repositories, but there are institutions who don't have their monitoring services. They are not aware whether something is okay or not. For example, for us, even for me, I'm not a technical expert, but for me, it's very important when I see that, for example, a security certificate is going to be outdated very soon, so I can suggest that it should be updated. Also, it's very interesting because you can see whether some services, when they are down, when they're not operating, or whether their uptime is good. So this is important help for service providers and for all the people involved, especially for IT people who work for the service providers. Also, we had another action that was not actually, it wasn't planned originally as part of the NIFOS Europe project, but as we were collaborating with other EOSC-related projects, an opportunity appeared to apply for support in the SHOC project, to apply for support for repository certification. This is the basic certification scheme, Core Trust Seal, and we applied with one repository, and actually the greatest part of the actions within NIFOS Europe project was supported by Work Package 4. And this was a really good exercise for us. Not that we really needed urgently a certified repository, but there is, we didn't know how to do this. We lacked expertise locally. We lacked expertise in the region. So we learned something through this action. And another collaboration that actually was very important for us is that the repository that was to be certified, it didn't have PIDs, and support was provided by Themis and her team. It was a part of the DICE project. So it explains how actually this kind of networking through regional projects helps improve local and regional infrastructure. So this repository was eventually certified less than two weeks ago in September, and this is the repository of the Serbian Academy of Sciences and Arts. So I will now explain the second tricky issue that puzzled us at the very beginning. This is something that we can now understand now that we have the EOSC portal, now that things are beginning to get some shape. So we onboarded repositories as services on the NIFOS Europe catalog. And they will be onboarded as services to the EOSC portal. But repositories also have data. And this is where OpenAIR comes to play, because the data that are harvested from our repositories, they will be onboarded through OpenAIR. And the OpenAIR graph is actually, research graph is actually crucial in this concept. So when talking about repositories, if you have thematic services, if you have core services, then you follow just the left part of this line. You just do the onboarding either to the regional catalog and then just go further through the regional catalog to the EOSC portal, or onboard it directly to the EOSC portal. But if you have repositories, you have two lines. You need to onboard repositories as services, and you also need to connect with OpenAIR in order to have your data available through the EOSC portal. The data are not yet research products, and data are not yet visible there, but with the expected update of the EOSC portal, they should be visible there and should be searchable there. So this is the tricky issue that we now can explain. So you probably no need to explain in detail. You see that this exercise for us had many benefits. First of all, we managed to upgrade regional repositories. We managed to increase their compliance with the EOSC requirements. And this is very important because sometimes institutions lack resources, they can't do it alone, and the guidance provided by the project was very important here. Also, we have ensured a better integration with European infrastructures because we advise repositories to integrate with the open air, we advise repositories to register, to get registered into various European registries, so they are now more visible, and their data are more visible. We also have, through the catalog, we have actually a better insight into the availability and the quality of infrastructure, because we have the monitoring, we can see which services are up and running, we have those technological readiness level that are very transparent in the catalog, which actually can help researchers select which services to use or not. We also had this kind of guided approach to increasing fairness at various through tools, through training, through templates, and also we have this added value to our services. And also, what I already mentioned, new opportunities appear. We have established some collaborations. We know whom to contact if we need help. We know how to advise all the other project participants or other people we know how to collaborate within the region. That's all for me.